From the KCPW Dankers Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. This week, the summer festival season kicks off in a big way with the Pride Festival. The Pride Festival has been going on in downtown Salt Lake City for decades. Today, we'll be talking with Matthew Landis, the talent director for the Pride Festival, and Sarah Lux Morgan, who is the marketing manager for the Utah Pride Center, about the role of the festival in downtown Salt Lake City and larger implications for the LGBTQ community. We'll talk about what's going to happen at the Pride Festival this weekend, the entertainment, the parade, some of the frivolity and celebratory things going on, but we'll also talk about the cultural implications of what it means to be LGBTQ in Utah today. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, two of my new friends who are working on a very important event happening this weekend. Matthew Landis is the talent director with the Pride Festival happening this weekend in downtown Salt Lake City. And Sarah Lux Morgan is with the Utah Pride Center. You guys, thanks for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
I can't imagine that anyone has not heard of Pride, but in a nutshell, could you maybe tell people what to expect over the next few days as Pride wraps up and culminates in the big parade on Sunday?
Sure, of course. Well, the Pride Festival happens technically the 4th through the 7th. It starts with an interfaith service, which is hosted by Community of Christ, but is located at First Baptist Church.
And this is on Thursday night.
This is on Thursday night, yep. Yes. Friday night, there are a couple different events happening. A combined rally. It's a dyke, trans, sexually fluid, and poly rally, which will happen starting around 6 at the Capitol, and then we'll march down to Library Square.
And Sarah, is this the first time that you've done this Dykes, Transsexually Fluid, and Poly group?
The first time, yes. Historically, there have been separate marches, but because the organizers felt that there's a lot of intersecting identities, that it would be beneficial to all to combine the rallies this year. So that will be happening. And then, like I said, they will march down to Library Square. Meanwhile, there's also the Grand Marshal reception. Our Grand Marshal this year is Janet Mock, and that will be happening at 6:30, also in Library Square. And then we are having our inaugural opening ceremony, which will happen at 9. That's $5. Unless you attend the rally in the march or the Grand Marshal event. And there's a lot that's going to be happening there. It's going to be quite the party.
And this is happening on the premises of the Pride Festival? Is this happening at Washington Square? Okay, so
I think Library Square.
Library Square. And there's going to be a lot happening. I'm just going to say maybe drums, fire.
Wow.
Some very large-scale presentation. I mean, it's going to be like
a party.
Circus.
Well, you know, and then it's Pride, concert. So there's going to be some dancing, too,
yeah,
obviously.
Lots of dancing.
And this is the first time you've done an opening ceremony. Is that correct?
Yes.
On this scale, yeah. Our opening ceremonies usually have lasted for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay.
This is a full-scale event.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So. Awesome. Okay, so this is all Friday night.
This is all Friday night.
Okay.
And then Saturday, starting at 3, the festival grounds open up.
Okay.
There are family-friendly hours, a kids zone, a pet zone, an expanded art zone, a very large adult play zone, which will have things like adult-sized Jenga, things like that.
So adult play, to be clear, will still be somewhat family-friendly.
Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Suitable for a public gathering in Salt Lake City,
yes,
Utah.
Yeah, exactly.
No quotation marks.
Okay,
no,
good.
It is
I just
still
wanted to
Utah.
Clarify. Yeah, I wanted to clarify.
And, of course, lots of entertainment. There are 4 different stages that will have some spoken word stuff, some music, a whole bunch of different things.
There's actually 5 stages. There's one, the karaoke stage.
Oh, of course.
Which is a huge crowd
Mustn't
favorite.
Mustn't forget karaoke.
I know. I can't sing, so
right?
I try to. But.
And then our library stage, the Library Amphitheater, is a spoken word stage. And we have a reading of Dr. Seuss during family-friendly hour. And then we have a collegiate writing competition There's Saturday. Sunday we have a poetry slam competition. Actually, I think the poetry slam goes from Saturday to Sunday, so that's fun. Then we have two stages with music and dancing, including acoustic bands and electropop bands and dancers. And then, the fifth stage is the DJ stage. We have DJs playing all weekend, so if dancing is your thing, there will never be a moment's rest.
Right. It is a festival to remember. There's a lot going on.
Absolutely. So much, yeah. And Saturday night is going to be quite the combination of entertainment.
Yeah, Saturday night, so family time is from 3 to 6, and then at 6, our Saturday night party begins. Tickets also go up in price at $16, so I recommend to people to buying their tickets for Saturday in advance
or before 6 o'clock,
because they go up to $16.
Yeah. Which you can do right now at Gray Whale Entertainment, the Utah Pride Center, and the Leonardo.
So you can go on site to pick these things up. Okay.
Yeah. And then we start that off on our main stage with Voodoo Productions, doing kind of their Cirque performances. There's snakes and spiders and bugs and people bending all sorts of ways. After that, we have Muscle Hawk, which is a disco thrash band from Salt Lake.
I've heard Muscle Hawk before. I'm a fan.
They have a huge local following. Yeah. And then we have Dev, who is a national pop star, pop artist. She sings that song Bass Down Low and In the Dark.
All right.
And she's our headliner. And then we have a DJ from New York, DJ Eric Floyd, who will play our dance party from 9 to 11. On the dance stage that night, we have DJ Corey Bolo and DJ Flash Flair, who are extremely popular local DJs. And then on our Pride stage, we have the Mary Tebbs Get Up. She's really popular here as well, singing her brand of rock and roll.
Rock and roll. And then the parade, Sunday morning.
Right. Well, even before the parade, there's the 5K at 9.
You guys have so much. There's a lot going on this weekend.
So much going on this weekend.
Okay.
And the 5K, people are encouraged to run it in costume or drag.
Parade attire.
And that will be down the parade route. So there's going to be a lot of spectators for that this year. And then, of course, the parade.
How many entries this year? Do you know?
I want to say around 125, 135.
Because I know something in that range.
Our float, which is the farmer's market that the Downtown Alliance does every year, we're 102.
Yeah.
So I'm glad to know we're not at the very end. I saw that number and I was like, oh my gosh, there are a lot of floats in this parade.
I think the parade now is either equal to or bigger than the Days of 47. Don't quote me on that, but I know it's roughly the same size.
It's big.
I think we're saying it's near equal to.
It's big.
Yeah. And there's some exciting things happening in the parade this year. We think it's the first Pride parade that is going to have the National Park Service. So that means that Smokey the Bear is going to be marching in the parade.
Very cool.
I've waited my whole life.
Obviously, Mormons Building Bridges will be marching again this year.
Can I tell you guys a funny story about that? I think it's funny. A couple years ago, we were marching, and we're dressed as in the farmer's market, we dress either as farmers, as fruits, as vegetables, or as barnyard animals.
Okay.
Those are the costume choices that we give people. It's true. So we're walking down 3rd East, and we start out, and people are just going crazy for the farmer's market. We're like, we are so popular, right before we turn to go down 2nd South. And then we realize Mormons Building Bridges is behind us, and that's who people were cheering for. It was a little bit, it hurt our feelings a little. I mean, we were still happy, and people still like the farmer's market.
Grown men dressed as turnips and things.
We have corn, we have carrots. I don't know if we have turnips. We need to get a turnip costume.
I'll do the turnip.
All right. You're going to be busy. You're going to have a lot going on.
Yeah. So Mormons Building Bridges, just as a side note, they have become the most popular, without a doubt, the largest entry and the most popular entry. Every time they go by, there are just so many tears and people choked up, and I get goosebumps even thinking about it.
You know, it's incredibly moving to see people coming together to be accepting and to be gracious, not just tolerant, but to say, oh, we want you as part of our community. It's important. And
I think so many people in this community are part of that community and felt maybe outside of it for so much of their lives.
Yeah.
That to see that community embrace them in such a public way, I think is what Pride is all about and is very moving for so many people here.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I want to talk about that a little bit. I want to finish just mentioning what's going on Sunday, but I do really want to talk about what's the relevancy of Pride today? You know, why is pride necessary in today's world? And I'll just reference this. We were talking about this a little bit before the show. It wasn't that long ago, 1996, East High tried to have a gay straight alliance. And in liberal Salt Lake City, they shut down every club in every high school to prevent this gay straight alliance from happening. Mm-hmm. And now, you know, there's gay marriage. And people feel much more comfortable expressing their sexuality and being who they are and being authentic with whatever their orientation might be. And I'm interested in having a little conversation about the role of pride and why pride is still relevant and why it's still necessary to let people know on that particular day or through this weekend who you are and that it's okay to say that publicly.
Well, I remember as a kid seeing pride parades in the San Francisco Chronicle. And as a gay kid, I remember thinking – or knowing deep down inside me that those were my people and someday I would find my way to them. So at that point, it was very important just to be out. Mm-hmm. And now I think with so many people out, it's still important because every generation has LGBT kids that are going to be coming out and families that are going to be dealing with that and communities. And so I think it's still important to be proud and to say, look, there's a place for you, there's a place for everybody. And I've always said that LGBT issues are for all people. It's not about whether you're lesbian, gay, mm-hmm. trans, or bisexual. It's about being authentic and being who you are. And so I think pride has become less so about just for LGBT people and really for the whole community.
Yeah.
And put on by the LGBT community for everyone else.
I think that's really good. Sarah?
There's two things I'll add to that. And one is that amongst youth in Utah, amongst LGBT youth in Utah, the rates of suicidal ideation and attempts are still nearly 50%.
Yeah.
So it's really, I think it still matters to have a space, not only on the internet where you can see things, where it shows nationally, but locally that also says, here we are, still. And I think the other thing is for older, out, comfortable LGBT individuals and allies, I think at this point the Pride Parade for us has become something similar to a St. Patrick's Day parade or...
It's a cultural celebration in some ways,
There's also that historical element. And I'll be honest with you, I love it because it is the funnest weekend of the year.
Yes.
And it starts the summer off in Salt Lake City. Yeah. It's the biggest party in Salt Lake all year.
I mean, it's gay Christmas.
Yeah. I would hate for it ever to go away because it's always my favorite weekend.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's important for people to – a couple things. One is it's super fun. Second, it's not just for LGBTQ community.
Right.
It's thrown by, but it's really for the entire community.
It really is.
Absolutely.
And the parade, family friendly. Take your kids. And it's a great way to celebrate. And it's fun. But there's also sort of this cultural element of saying it's okay to be who you are.
Yeah.
It's okay to be who you are authentically, whatever that may be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the rest of the activities on Sunday. And then also just talk a little bit about sort of the role that Pride has played and the continuing evolution of the LGBTQ movement in our community and nationally and what that means for Salt Lake and in particular for downtown. So we will be back after these messages. We are back. You are listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today, Matthew Landis with the Pride Festival. Matthew is the talent director at the Pride Festival. And Sarah Lux Morgan. Sarah is the marketing manager with the Utah Pride Center. Thank you both again for being here today. I know you've got a lot going on. It's a busy time.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, luckily, your studios are right across the street.
Yeah.
It's very convenient.
It's very convenient.
In the heart of downtown Salt Lake City.
I dodged
easy to get
the
here.
Tracks on my way here.
Wow, you're
good.
Brave. You're brave. So we had started out talking about what's happening this weekend. I distracted us and sent us off in a different course. But just to finish up, Sunday is really parade is the big event, and then it wraps up Sunday afternoon. So maybe talk about what's happening on Sunday at the Pride Festival.
Right. Well, there's the second day of the festival, and the second day of the festival is the bigger day of the festival.
Yeah.
There are more people there.
Three times as many people on Sunday as there are Saturday.
It's the grand.
Right.
It really is the grand finale. It's
absolutely.
Yeah.
It absolutely
crazy.
Is. Again, more entertainment. This year we have expanded sort of the offerings even just within the zones.
And there's the footprint. Like, you're coming onto Library Square in a way that you haven't in the past.
We have basically nearly two full blocks of entertainment.
Right. And, you know, we have a larger art zone. We have a new sort of, we're not calling it quite a zone. It's kind of a row that's called the Now That You're Married zone.
Oh, nice.
It's things like lawyers and home equity stuff and the actual part of marriage that happens once you're married. So we have that as well. Just a lot of interesting things happening around the entertainment as well, which the entertainment itself is really exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so much. Again, the five stages. We have carefully planned every hour. I mean, it's
very curated.
It's a mathematical. It is. It is definitely that. And again, we have rock and roll. We have blues. We have Bad Brad Wheeler playing on the Pride stage. We have so much local talent. This year, we have so much local talent here in Utah that we really focused on those people bringing their local followings to the festival, celebrating the community that we live in. We have Headliners XL coming from Los Angeles. We have Justin Utley, who's a hometown boy but lives in New York. Mm-hmm. Now, we have the Spasmatics, which are a huge favorite here in Salt Lake. Who else? So many, I can't even keep up. Yeah. Go to UtahPrideFestival.org for the full lineup, or pick up a City Weekly or a Q Salt Lake, and you have the full lineup
on there as well. Even if you're there and you want to see other people's experiences, or, you know, for whatever reason you're not in Salt Lake this weekend, I don't know why you wouldn't be, but
this
if you're not.
This is the weekend to be here.
Exactly. Yeah. If you're not, we are going to be keeping live updates of the weekend on our social media channels. We're on Facebook at Utah Pride Festival. We're on Instagram also with Utah Pride Festival. And then we have another Instagram account called Pride is Utah. Mm-hmm. And that's going to have a photographer all weekend. And that's almost like a Humans of New York style thing. She's going to be asking people about what Pride means to them.
Well, and that is the theme this year, right? Pride is fill in the blank, right? And that, I think, gets to the idea of the evolution, I think, in some ways, of the festival, but what that represents about the larger culture. And we talked about this a little bit before, but things have progressed so much, so rapidly over the past decade and two decades, that it feels like there's a lot more acceptance of LGBT people, obviously, but the people have a little bit more freedom for some fluidity. The Caitlyn Jenner cover on Vanity Fair speaks to that a little bit, that the trans community is now feeling maybe their legs, and they're able to be a little bit more vocal than they've been in the past. And we were talking about that a little bit before, Sarah, but maybe you can just talk about sort of how you see that shaping up.
Right. Well, you know, I think one of the really interesting things is that the fight up until now has been for a certain level of security within the framework to be who you are. And now that we are having some real security within that, legally, socially, emotionally, I think the upcoming movement is towards being fluid within that. So that's a couple things. That's acknowledging gender identity as more than a binary system and how people move within that. It's acknowledging that sexuality is not necessarily just heterosexuality or homosexuality, but bisexuality, the whole range of sexually fluid identities. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's kind of where we're at, is saying, okay, what's the next step of this?
Yeah. And you'd mentioned this earlier, you almost need to have that, had that foundation that it's safe to be gay, it's safe to be a lesbian, to say, well, that's great, and that was important to set as a foundation. How do people fit in that context, in that framework? And it's not always just black and white, gay or straight. There's a lot of movement within that.
Of course.
Yeah.
And I think even for people, I guess heterosexual people over the years, for lack of a better term, I think we've had support from the community at large, because even a lot of heterosexual people don't feel like they necessarily fit in with the quote-unquote norms.
Right.
A lot of people have, you know.
Right. Strongly identify with the queer community.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Be yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think, what Pride is all about. My wife told me this a while ago. It was sort of at the height of the marriage equality movement. And I made this comment and I said, you know, I think the gay movement would be better served if people weren't quite so flamboyant. And we're not like a crazy Pride. I mean, I've been to Pride in San Francisco. We're not that.
Right.
And she said, you don't get it, honey. You don't understand. This isn't about a strategic, calculated political decision. This is about allowing people to be who they are in broad daylight on a public street on one day of the year where you get to just own who you are. And it's so much more about individual expression than about a calculated political maneuver.
It's being your most authentic self and whoever that is.
Yeah. For me, it's going to be dressed as a farmer, which is not necessarily my authentic self, but I'm happy to be at the party. I'm happy to be there to celebrate.
Me, Mom.
Yeah. I wanted to just... mention, this is the major fundraiser for the Utah Pride Center.
The center, yes.
And so this is really...
The profits for the festival go to help fund the operations of the Pride Center throughout the year. So it is very important for us to make money from this festival.
Right. And
to put it bluntly.
Right. Yeah. And the center essentially year-round provides services and support for the LGBT communities in all their facets.
Yeah. You know, even with greater acceptance, as you said before, it's still really important to have that resource, to have people feeling comfortable, whether it's a teenager coming out, mm-hmm. whether it's an older person, but feeling like there are some resources there, they're in a part of a larger group, a larger tribe, and that they're part of something bigger than just how they might be experiencing things as an individual.
The Pride Center is a safe space for 365 days a year, so it's not just Pride weekend. Mm-hmm. So there's so many programs within the Pride Center that are very important to the community. We have our youth services program. We have our SAGE program. We have a counseling program. Sarah can probably...
We have, trans programming. We provide spaces for other programs such as the 1-to-5 Club. Mm-hmm. And I think, again, that idea of having a space and a place where people can become their most authentic selves is really significant. So we have a library, and it's one of the largest LGBTQ libraries in the state. We have rooms available. We have lots of services people can make available to themselves.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I want to thank you both very much for coming in. I know how busy you are this week. lots going on. And thank you also for the contribution that you make, I think, in helping the larger community, not just this year, but for so many years going into the past. The Pride Festival and the Pride Center has really helped so many people feel comfortable with who they are. And it's important not just for individuals, but for the larger community, I think, to have that level of acceptance. And so you're doing great work. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we explore the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.